When you look outside your window, you take a personal journey through space and memory, encountering versions of home that never quite sound and feel the same with every passing glance. I'm Ivan.
And I'm Derek.
And this is Windows,
an audio series where we sit with people observing the world from their homes. This series weaves together a tapestry of sounds and perspectives on cities that are always shifting.
For the next half an hour, you'll hear from the artist and sculptor Jill Rock, who will take you on a journey traversing time and space across multiple decades, all from her flat in the Brunswick Centre, central London. During the recording, me and Derek were struck by her unique outlook on life through reflections on art, nature, city living, and so much more. This is episode 2 with Jill.
The edge of things. Two elements meet. Two elements meet. The edge of things. The edge of things. Especially a city like London, which has never been planned. Especially a city like London, which has never been planned. It's just, I like edge. Because in London, it's all edge. Stimulating. Well, you're always on the edge, aren't you? The edge of things. I like edge, actually. Then things happen. Things happen. The edge of things. I'm Jill, and I moved into O'Donnell Court in the Brunswick Centre, I suppose 9 months ago now. I needed to make some big changes in my life, and I was able to find this flat. And it is a way of life, the Brunswick Centre. Everything's here. Everything is here in the Brunswick Centre. I'm a sculptor, actually, but I do other things as well. So normally, I'd have to rent a studio or be running around a flat with a bit here and a bit there. And this is just ideal. And I quite like working from home because it's organic. You know, I've got something I've got to do, so I get on with doing it. Because it's just a small, simple flat, I'm not bothered by housework over much. And it just works. It just works. That's all I can say. This incredible light from this window here. Just incredible light. And I've been able to put my work table and all my boxes with stuff. Some people like to, it gives them a feeling of going out and going to a particular place and doing something and then going back. But I quite like it all sort of flowing into each other. But the main thing is about this window is that I work here. I've got this incredible light. And I've got a view which is once, it's very definite, the view. It's definitive, but it doesn't invade me. I can see centre point there. And then there's this red brick, rather grand hotel with incredible chimneys and some sort of nondescript buildings. At the moment it's autumn trees, which are really nice because it's sort of, you get the colour, but also you're beginning to see what's behind the trees. You know, it's sort of a little bit of both. If you look through this window, there's the BT Tower. And the BT Tower has messages. My eyes aren't good enough for the message today. Maybe you can read it. Every day, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Oh,
that's
right.
As good as mine.
Wait, what is it? It's coming around.
But
I can't...
People die.
Oh, people die on...
Oh, it's just
on our roads.
It's the safety warnings?
Yes. There was a lovely story. A friend of mine was somewhere in Charing Cross or somewhere round and about. And he looked up and there was the BT Tower and it said, David Bowie has died. And there were sort of a group of people around and they all started singing. Which was a nice, really nice story. They all started singing, I suppose, What Not Man, Starman or something, you know. Well, it's all squares and it's very unorganic, isn't it? It's totally man-made squares and the architecture opposite is exactly the same. This is very unorganic. It's straight edges. I like modern architecture, so I enjoy that. It doesn't irritate me. I think some people don't like modern architecture. The window is really defines my life here because this is where I can work very easily with very good light and no problems. It's a bit clear at the moment. I did tidy up for you. It's quite funny. It was when I did that Macondo thing. Some critic or other wanted to interview me. And I didn't prepare because I don't think it's always a good idea, although sometimes you regret it afterwards. And he suddenly said, did you paint when you were a child? And I, you know, I hadn't thought about it. And I was never that good at painting pictures. I can draw, but I'm not that interested or I don't know, I'm not that good at it. And I suddenly remembered, of course, I used to pick up bits of wood and stones and paint them. And with the boy round the corner, we used to put them on shelves and call it a museum. And I'd forgotten that, totally forgotten that. And then when I was in my early teens, I suddenly got art. And then I was quite tall for my age and I sort of wheedled my way into the local art school on Saturday morning for the O&A level. Of course, I was nowhere near an O&A level. In my way, I was quite serious. I think I bogged it later, getting married rather young, but that's the way it was. And then my husband died. And I knew I had to earn some money, and so I trained as an art teacher. I could have gone to art school and done it that way, which would have been better for me, but I thought I really needed to be more practical because I had to earn enough money to sort of bring up the kids and all that stuff. I think that's probably why I do something no one else does. I think that would have been knocked out of me in art school. My son's in Australia and from the 90s, and I once was there and I saw this little flyer, come and live with the Aboriginals. So of course I did. And we walked through the bush, and they were painters. And until that moment, I'd been a gym. I'd done the geometric stuff, but I hadn't done the wood stuff. But of course, they paint on bark. We had a nice time, very nice people, very good humoured. And so when I came back, I went for a walk in the park, and I just picked up a little sliver of wood off the ground. I painted it, it was a friend's birthday, gave it to her. And I've really done that ever since. That's 25 years. And the idea is, I only take stuff off the ground. I would never, never take anything off. That's not my game. My game is it comes off the ground, and then I find whatever I find. And then I just play, and what transpires is what transpires. Some of these drawers are full of unpainted bits. I have to, because they're coming into a house, I have to clean them and, you know, put some fairly revolting stuff on them. Some paints are poisonous, there's no two ways about it. And so I need to keep well away from food. So I use the bathroom to clean brushes and things like that. Yeah, I mean, that's a technicality. You've got to keep your poisons away from food. So, for instance, there's a piece here, which actually has gone a bit floppy. I was in India for a reason. And this is the root of a bamboo, which was on the pavement in Calcutta. It's getting a bit old now, this is a long time ago. Come to the secret of my flat. So you'll need to have your camera portable before it gets dark, actually. Right. Now, hello there. You come past first.
Okay. You've got me in the middle of my training.
Ah, is this the gym?
Yeah.
Well done.
Okay,
thank you. Thank you. Ciao. And indeed.
Do you know him very well?
No, not at all. That's what I mean. Yeah. People are just nice. I find the people very friendly, very polite, very nice, like the man. I have said hello to him before, but I didn't. I think there's someone else in that flat as well, because we all watched the fireworks the other night together. Mm. We were all the Cornfields fireworks. Did you watch them? I suddenly realised there were a lot of bangs, and I thought, no, it's not gunfire. Oh, I know what it is. It's a firework display. Yeah. Right. This is the other side. And this is lovely. All the people walking past. And this sort of very austere architecture, and then you have the trees and you have the people. That tree, right in the middle, that big dome of a tree, was planted in 1796. It's one of the oldest plane trees in London. And this is where, apparently, Jane Austen's Emma said was the nicest place in London. I'm not unsociable. I don't want to be in silence. I like the sound of the people. And I think because it's concrete, I think the sound of the people does probably reverberate. Saturday morning, I had to go out. And down there were quite a lot of dads and little boys. And I guess they were going to play football at Coram. And then when I came back, they were walking the other way. So I thought, yeah, they've had their football. It's just, I don't fantasize about people. I'm not a person who makes up stories about people. I just, it's not what I do. I don't know why. I was in West London. I was in a, it was a ground floor flat, but the houses opposite were quite close, and it was massive traffic. And it was very annoying because they weren't coming here. It was just through traffic, north to south through this particular road. Well, I just put up secondary glazing, and I pretended it was the sea. Yeah, so I didn't get annoyed.
Have you ever lived in the sea?
Yes, I have.
Where was that for you?
It's a place called St. Leonard's near Hastings.
Sorry.
Near Hastings.
How long were you there?
7 or 8 years. I was at the back of a house, so I had a courtyard, bit of garden, which was very nice. But it got a bit overgrown because the ground was very fertile. Everything just grew. and I thought I was going to be a gardener, but I'm not really a gardener. I'm more of a wanderer. I'm really a wanderer. That's, you know, I wander. I've got a strange relationship with the sea. I don't really like swimming in it. And I love walking along the edge of the sea, but I don't like the depths of it. And it was a good time, but I wanted to live back in London. I think that's where I'm happy. Hastings was a big seaside resort, and so it's got a lot of parks, it's got this huge front. All the problems with keeping the sea out of the town. It's got the problem of the 80s when all the people who were thrown out of work ended up in seaside towns. They had money, but they had no work because there was no one going on holiday there. And so they took to drink and drugs. And, oh, you know, I feel for them. But I lived there for a while. The point is, when I was down by the sea, it didn't work. I would do things, but the sea was there. And I couldn't compete with it. But when I'm here, and I bring in my bits of this, that, and the other, I can enter into the imagination because I'm not being confronted by something that I cannot possibly ever achieve. You know, I work differently, I think, from a lot of people who work with nature who feel they must be in nature. No, I bring it into the city. That's just my limitation, probably. I don't know. Edge, the edge of things. When two elements meet, then things happen. I like edge, actually. I like edge because in London it's all edge. because there's nothing big. So you walk along, you walk anywhere. You're always on the edge, aren't you? And maybe that's why a city, especially a city like London, which has never been planned, it's just a hodgepodge of things. Maybe that's why it's stimulating. You're always walking on an edge. What I like at the moment is the sky. Well, it's the most incredible colour range, isn't it? Extraordinary colour range, because you've got a bit of blue, which we didn't have during the day, and then you've got the dark greys, and then you've got all these pinky colours, which is, of course, the light, city light. You know, that's the reflection of city light. I really like it. And I think the brutalness of the architecture and then the amorphous quality in the movement of the clouds is really nice. I never know what does inspire me, really. I never work it out. I think if you're fairly, as an artist, if you're fairly freewheeling, like you said to me, would you be interested in doing this? And I said, oh, yeah. Then it all, you suddenly, you know, I'm in my 80s now, so suddenly I've got a wide, huge experience. And until I retired, I was teaching and bringing up kids and things, so there wasn't a lot of artwork happening then. So I admire you for, oh no, it's a brave, people don't understand, artists are very brave. I quite like walking out in the evening. I know you're supposed not to do it when you're an old lady, but I do quite like, and you're safe around here, for God's sake. I suppose I'm a morning, certainly I'm most alert in the morning. I don't know, every part of the day has a different thing, really, doesn't it? I like the sense of expectation of the evening coming on and doing something. Sense of expectation. What do you like? Yeah, I've never felt so at ease anywhere as in this flat. And I have to say why I moved here, why I wanted to move here and I fought for it, was this window, because I knew this would be a really good place for me to work. Other than having some shelves put along there tomorrow and try and sort out some of these books, and a few things that need mending, I've no intention of doing anything to this flat. Before I moved here, I was between homes. I won't say I was homeless because I went and stayed with a friend. And she had a nice suburban garden and there was something about it I really liked. I don't know what. It's just very ordinary. Well, it wasn't very ordinary because it had this huge tree which drove her crazy, because nothing would grow under it and it dominated everything and what have you. But there was actually something I used to quite like. I don't know why. I really don't know why. I find it fascinating. Like, I go walking. And so if you're in London, you go walking. You're going to walk out into the outer suburbs where they've got hills and woodlands and things, or on the edge of the green belt. Very often you go to the station, and then you have to walk down some suburban roads to get to wherever you're going to start walking, in more countryfied, country, sort of countryside sort of place. And I really love walking down these suburban streets and looking into people's front gardens. They're like little Edens. everyone is a bit different because they're very often they're now just paved over for cars. So you see these little, and sometimes they're very ragged. I don't know why, it's a fascination. Yeah, I like walking beside rivers. One, you don't have to think about your route because you just keep the river to your right or left, which means you can, you're not going where you can just. And I like walking through woodlands, obviously. Don't like going up mountains. Oh, it's ghastly. I've been dragged up mountains by other people and I really don't like it. I don't see the point just to get a view, for God's sake. It's a slog. And I also like flat countryside because you can see a long way. Whereas friend I go walking with, she just doesn't get it at all. She says, no, I like hills. There's something to look at. I think, well, it's blocking the view.
That was Windows with Jill Rock. We'd like to extend a special thank you to her for opening up her home and art for this episode. It was created by me, Ivan Davwan.
And me, Derek Omar, with cover art by Effie Jordan.
The series is powered by Transmission Roundhouse. If you enjoyed this episode, do leave a rating, review, or both.